Amen. Good morning. Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to worship together at Faith Community United Methodist Church on this second Sunday of Lent. It's good to be with you this morning. I would encourage you to take a look at the announcements that are in your bulletin. Remember our Lenten challenge, the challenge for this Lent to give a little bit extra, and there are some instructions on each week about how much to give for that week based on ways that we have been blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. There was an envelope in the bulletin last week, and I encouraged you to take that home and keep it. There are extras of those envelopes on the table out in the narthex. So if you didn't keep yours from last week or you weren't here last week, be sure to grab one of those envelopes that's on the table in the narthex and take that with you for your special offering for our Lenten challenge and bring that back at the end of Lent. And that will go to support the Fish Food Pantry, Interfaith Hospitality Network, and Bridges of Hope. Also, it's time to start collecting seeds for the Jackson Area Ministries. There's an announcement about that in the bulletin, bringing your seeds in for that. There's also ways that we can support St. Paul United Methodist Church with some of their upcoming events, their sub sale. The orders for the subs for the St. Paul sub sale have to be in by this Friday. So if you want one of those subs, make a note of that. And then also the steak dinner that's coming up during Lent as well. So I encourage you to take this with you and look over that so that you know the things that are going on, things that are coming up. We are here to worship God, and so I invite you to be in an attitude of worship and stand as you are able as we join together in our call to worship.
And the call to worship is printed in your bulletin. This is a holy day set aside for worshiping God. Draw near to meditate and pray as God commands.
We are freed from our labors for this time of praise. Let us bring our songs of joy and thankfulness.
Listen and hear the voice of God. Give up your burdens to the one who cares about you.
We are not slaves to any earthly power. We are willing servants of the Most High.
We sing aloud to God, our strength and salvation.
Our hearts and voices join in a chorus of praise.
And let us join in that chorus of praise with our opening hymn, Lord of the Dance, which is in your hymnal, page 261.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun, and I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then wherever you may be, I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance, and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came to me, and the dance went on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath when I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high, and they left me there on a cross to die. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on a Friday and the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance and I still go on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. They cut me down and I leapt up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
And you may be seated. Imprinted in your bulletin is our opening prayer. If we could say that in unison, please. God of our Sabbath times, from whose presence we can never hide, and whose purposes are always beyond our understanding, teach us to use our Sabbath times in ways that are pleasing to you and helpful to others. May we be instruments of healing, not instigators of division. Make us bearers of life-giving good news, not purveyors of death. Fill us with hope that we may share with the world. In Jesus' name, amen. And now our prayer hymn is Sweet Hour of Prayer. It's on page 496 in your hymnal. My petition bear.
I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Gracious and holy God, we do give you thanks for this sweet hour of prayer, this time that you have set aside for us and that we have set aside for you so that we might sit in your presence, so that we might allow your grace and your love to wash over us. In this world, Lord, we are surrounded by so many concerns and anxieties and things beyond our control and things that we feel we need to be working on each moment. But Lord, you have commanded us to take that Sabbath rest, to remind us that it is not on us to fix everything. It's not on us to do everything. It is on us to trust in you, to know that you are Lord, to know that you are sovereign, to know that you have this world in your hands and you, Lord, have us in your hands. And so whatever those anxieties and worries are, Lord, we turn them over to you now in this sweet hour of prayer, pleading for your grace, asking for your healing, and thanking you, Lord, for you are a good and gracious God. And we know that we are in good hands when we are with you. So keep us mindful of your presence, not just in this hour of prayer, but in all times and in all circumstances, that through all things we might find that peace that passes understanding because of you. We pray this in the name of your Son, whom you sent to be our Savior, and who teaches us to pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
When we
Amen.
Just wow. As is the custom here at Faith Community, when we read from the gospel, you are able to please rise. Our gospel lesson today is taken from Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. One Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked from heads of grain, rubbed them in their hands, and ate them. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath so that they might find an accusation against him. Even though he knew what they were thinking, he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' He got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to destroy it?' After looking around at all of them, he said to them, 'To him, stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you to Michelle and Melissa for the special music this morning. I think that you were scheduled to sing on the week that we had to cancel due to snow. And I wasn't going to be here that week anyway because I was on vacation. So on a personal note, I'm glad that you had to reschedule so I could be here for that. That was wonderful. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You may recall that as one of the Ten Commandments. Of all the laws that God gave to Moses, this was one of the most important. It was on God's top 10 list. One of the laws that God himself carved into stone by his very own finger. So how are you doing at keeping this one? What is the Sabbath day? How do you honor it? What do you do to keep it holy? Some of you probably remember the days of the Blue Laws when almost everything was shut down on Sundays. Businesses were closed, stores were closed, restaurants were closed. There were certainly no school activities on Sundays. Our society has changed quite a bit since the time of the Blue Laws. As with everything, there's some good in that, and there's some bad in that. One thing is for certain, the laws of the land are not going to force you into keeping Sabbath. If anything, our society is going to discourage you from keeping Sabbath. If you're going to be serious about honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy, it's on you to make it happen. So how about it? I think for most Christians today, if they had anything to say at all about the Sabbath, they would say that it is Sunday and that they keep it holy by going to church. But is that all it takes? Is that all that Sabbath means? Isn't there anything else, something more? Other than spending an hour or two at church, is there anything that you do with the other 20-some hours of the day to make it special, to keep it holy? Are there things that you avoid doing on the Sabbath? Most of us today, and I include myself in this, most of us today probably don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about these questions. The Jewish people of old spent a lot of time thinking about these questions. I mean, a lot. Keeping the Sabbath was a big deal for them. It was, after all, included in God's top 10 list for a reason. It must be important. Honoring the Sabbath, keeping it holy, was one of the main ways that the Jewish people stood out from everyone else. This is one of the things that identified them as God's people. Just as the one true God had created all that exists in 6 days and on the seventh day rested, so too God's people do all of their work on 6 days and then rested on the seventh, honoring that seventh day, keeping it holy to the Lord. And it wasn't just that it was one of the Ten Commandments, as if that weren't enough to express how important this law is. Listen to what God said to Moses in Exodus 31. "You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it shall be cut off from the people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the seventh day shall be put to death." Now ask yourself honestly, if we followed those commands today, would any of us still be here? The Jewish people understood how important this Sabbath law was. They thought so much about this commandment, it meant so much to them, that they came up with long and detailed lists of what counted as work. Because if you can be killed for working on the Sabbath, you'd better be pretty clear about what counted as work and what didn't, so that you wouldn't inadvertently do something that would get you killed. And believe me, they got very clear about this. They became so clear about this that their lists became the test of whether or not someone was being faithful to God. Not the Holy Spirit, not the individual conscience. Their list provided the test. They used those lists to test Jesus, just as they used them to test everyone else. But with Jesus, it went beyond just testing his faithfulness. They were actually hoping that he would fail the test. Our scripture for today says they watched what he did on the Sabbath so that they might find an accusation against him. The testing of Jesus, that's our theme for this Lenten season. Jesus was tested in any number of ways by any number of people, not least of which were the religious authorities who were constantly testing Jesus, constantly trying to catch him, trip him up. In our scripture for today, they are testing Jesus about his faithfulness to the Sabbath. After all, faithful observance to the Sabbath was a very important matter to them. If Jesus failed this test, then no other test was needed. That was enough to prove that he was a fraud, at least according to their way of seeing things. Our reading for today puts together two stories from two different occasions when Jesus was questioned and challenged about things that he was doing on the Sabbath. The two stories are put together here in Luke because they address the same question, adherence to Sabbath, and also because they lead to the same conclusion: the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. We're familiar with that expression, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. But what does it mean? Let's look at both of these stories to see how Jesus responds to this particular test. In the first, Jesus and his disciples were walking through the fields on the Sabbath when the disciples decided to pick some grain, rub it in their hands, and eat it. Now, the issue here is not that they picked some grain in a field that wasn't theirs. That would be our concern in our day and age, obsessed as we are with private property and protecting what's yours at all costs. That wasn't the issue for them. It was perfectly acceptable to do what they did on any other day, but definitely not on the Sabbath day. Among the things that were considered work, therefore not allowed on the Sabbath, were reaping and threshing. Plucking grains of wheat, like the disciples did, was not allowed because it was akin to reaping, which was clearly a form of work. Rubbing the grain in their hands, as they did, was not allowed because it was akin to threshing, another form of work. By picking the grain and rubbing it in their hands, they were doing two forms of work that were expressly forbidden on the Sabbath. Now, why walking through the grain fields in the first place wasn't considered work, I don't know. Seems to me like walking from one town to another is harder work than picking a grain of wheat and rubbing it in your hand. But that just goes to show you what these Sabbath regulations were like. It didn't have to do with the amount of energy exerted or whether one was giving one's time and attention to God. It simply had to do with whether or not the legal code defined it as work. The Pharisees posed the question to Jesus, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? That's the question, why? Jesus, in his answer, doesn't directly address that question. Rather, he points to a time when David and his companions broke a similar law. They were out on a mission, and they were famished. David went to a priest seeking bread for them to eat. The only bread available was the holy bread, the bread of the presence, dedicated to God and set aside for the priests alone to eat. But the priest, in that story, gave the bread of the presence to David and his companions to eat. When you look at that story in 1 Samuel 21, you see that it is not only because David and his companions were hungry that they were allowed to eat the bread of the presence. It's also because they were on a sacred mission, a mission for which they needed sustenance. So it was appropriate for them to eat the bread of the presence, and the priest gave it to them, agreeing that it was appropriate, because this holy bread was filling them for a holy purpose. Apply that context then to the story of Jesus and his disciples in the grain field. They too were on a holy mission. Jesus was and is the Holy One. All time spent with Jesus, therefore, is holy. Everything done in service to Jesus is holy. Everything that Jesus and his disciples did was appropriate to do on the Sabbath because everything that they did was honoring each moment and keeping it holy. It wasn't about whether this or that specific action was on a list of things that were considered work and therefore forbidden. The test for them was whether in everything they did, they were honoring the time and keeping it holy. If they were, then doing it on the sacred time of the Sabbath was every bit as appropriate as David and his companions eating the sacred bread. Now let me make clear what Jesus was not saying. Jesus was not saying, yes, the Sabbath is important, but not so much when you're hungry. David and his companions, they were really hungry, so it's okay that they broke the law by eating the bread of the presence. My disciples were really hungry, so it's okay that they broke the law by desecrating the Sabbath. This story isn't about the disciples' hunger, as if hunger overrode the Sabbath regulation. That wouldn't even make sense if you think about it. Jesus had just two chapters ago spent 40 days in the desert eating nothing, and he did it to honor God. His disciples couldn't even do it for one day. They weren't going to starve to death if they didn't eat for that one day. They might be uncomfortable, but that wasn't enough to override the Sabbath. If the Bible said, this is the law decreed by God, unless it makes you uncomfortable for a day, in which case you can ignore it and do whatever you want, that's not a law. That's a suggestion. God didn't give Moses the 10 suggestions. He gave him the 10 commandments. So the fact that the disciples were hungry really isn't the issue. Likewise, Jesus' statement, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, does not mean I'm the Messiah, so I get to disregard the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath means everything that he does honors the Sabbath. Because everything that he does honors God and keeps the time holy. Not just keeps the time holy, makes the time holy. Jesus is holiness himself. Jesus is life himself. His disciples, by serving him, were serving God. And so they were, in fact, honoring the Sabbath, not breaking it. The next story takes place on a different Sabbath day. Jesus was in the synagogue teaching, and there was a man present whose right hand was withered. It's significant that it was his right hand. The right hand in that culture was the one that you used in public for gesturing for greeting people. The left hand was never presented in public. So by saying it was his right hand that was withered, this is more than just a physical deformity. It's more than just an inconvenience. This man has, in some sense, been cut off from community. Luke tells us that the religious leaders were watching Jesus to see what he would do. They were testing him, hoping for an opportunity to accuse him. You see, healing was another one of those things on the long list of things you couldn't do on the Sabbath. If someone had a life-threatening illness, a life-threatening situation, and you were able to do something to help out, that was different. The law did make an exception for life and death situations, but this was not a life and death situation. This was a chronic condition. This man had been this way for some time. It made his life difficult. It made it uncomfortable. It even cut him off from community in some sense, but he wasn't about to die because of it. So to heal someone in his condition on the Sabbath would be a violation of the law. Jesus healed him anyway. But before he did so, he had the man step up in front of everyone, for everyone to see. Jesus wasn't interested in doing this in secret. He wasn't trying to hide what was going on here so that they wouldn't see and wouldn't be able to trap him. Jesus wanted them to see this. He wanted them to hear this. And while the man was standing before them, Jesus asked them two questions. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to save life or to destroy it? These two questions are not presenting two different alternatives for Jesus. He's not saying, is it right for me to heal him or is it not? Rather, he's making a juxtaposition with these two questions between doing good and doing harm, between saving life and destroying it. He's drawing a distinction between himself and the religious leaders who are testing him. He's pointing out the distinction between what he's doing on the Sabbath, good, and what they are doing on the Sabbath, evil. One of the purposes of the Sabbath is to bring people together as community, not just as workers in the system, not just as cogs in the machine, but as children of God, as family. This man's withered right hand was, in some sense, keeping him from that. So by restoring his hand, Jesus was restoring that connection, restoring that community, restoring that life from which he had been cut off. By restoring his right hand, Jesus was making true Sabbath possible for this man. But what about the religious leaders? What were they doing on the Sabbath? How were they using this sacred time? They were using it to test and trap Jesus. They were using it to keep this poor, isolated man cut off from religious community. They were using it for their own nefarious purposes. They were using it for evil. By trying to destroy the one who is life himself, they were using the Sabbath to destroy life. Now, they weren't doing anything on their long list of things not to be done on the Sabbath. But Jesus' question to them points out that their lists just don't get it. They have a list of what you're not allowed to do on the Sabbath. Is evil on that list? Is destroying life on that list? Because that's exactly what they're doing. How is that honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy? Then Luke says, after looking around at all of them, he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. Think about that phrase, after looking around at them. Have you ever been really scolded by someone, and then when they're finished scolding you, they just look you dead in the eye so that you know that they are thinking, you know what I'm saying, and you know that you're guilty. You know you've been caught. Jesus looked at all of them, like a teacher looking around the room after the whole class has just gotten in trouble. They knew what he was saying. They knew the accusation he was making against them. They were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, but instead he had accused them of doing evil, of destroying life on the Sabbath. And then after looking each one dead in the eye to make sure that they knew, he drove the message home by having the man stretch out his hand and reveal that it had been healed. Implicit in both of these stories is the belief that the Sabbath is good, that the Sabbath is given as a gift for the purpose of life. Jesus never, in either of these stories or in any other of the gospel stories, ever overturns the Sabbath. He never says, honoring the Sabbath is a dead ritual that doesn't matter anymore. Don't worry about it. Do whatever you want on the Sabbath. It doesn't matter. Jesus never says that. But sometimes we act like he did. How many of us set aside one day out of every seven to make sure that everything we do that day honors God? How many of us keep one day out of every seven holy? Not just by going to church, but by not doing anything that day that would sap us of energy, that would grind us down, by not doing anything that day that would divert us from God? How many of us take seriously not just the command, but the gift of Sabbath rest, to be refreshed all day long, to be recharged by the Holy Spirit, so that not just that day, but every day of the week, we will be able to faithfully serve and honor God? That's what the Sabbath is all about. That's why God gave it to us. That's why I say it's a gift of life. So why is it that we don't more faithfully honor that gift? I think it's because we think that we can't. I think it's because we feel this need to always be pressing ahead, to always be doing something, to always be getting something done. We feel this pressure and this tremendous weight of obligation to build a life for ourselves and for our families. But friends, that tremendous obligation is a weight that we just cannot bear. Because the fact is, we cannot build life on our own. We can only receive life as a gift. That's what the Sabbath is about, to remind us that life is a gift, that God is the source of all life, that God is the foundation of our life. If we are not practicing Sabbath, if we are not setting aside one day in every seven as a day of holy rest, then we're trying to make it on our own. And we are, in fact, destroying life. Now, there are all kinds of questions that we can get into about what is the Sabbath, how do we keep it holy, does it have to be Sunday like it is for most Christians, is it supposed to be Saturday like it is in the Bible, and what if you have to work that day and you don't have a choice? It really doesn't matter whether you practice it on Saturday or Sunday or any other day of the week. What matters is the rhythm. What matters is that it's one day out of every seven. That's the pattern of life that God has set for us. For 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of holy rest to the Lord. You shall honor it and keep it holy. What does it mean to keep it holy? The Jews had their long lists of what you could and couldn't do. In the days of the Blue Laws, there were certain things that you couldn't do. The problem with those lists and laws is that inevitably you get hung up on the technicalities and you forget about what it's about in the first place. It's about honoring God. It's about holy rest, a break from the daily grind. It's about refreshment and restoration. It's about life as God intended us to live it, life as a gift. So I'm not going to try and give you any list. That's what the Pharisees were focused on, their list. And that list ended up causing them to do evil and to destroy life. What I will tell you, though, is that Sabbath matters. Sabbath matters deeply. It is a gift from God for the purpose of life, a gift that we disregard to our own destruction. That's the irony of using these passages of Scripture as an excuse to disregard the Sabbath. By doing so, we are destroying life as God intends it, and that is the exact opposite of what Jesus was all about. That is the test that Jesus puts to us. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to save life or destroy it? You know what saps your spirit. You know what grinds you down day in and day out. You know what takes you away from God. Don't do that on the Sabbath. For 6 days you shall do all your work. The seventh is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. You know what brings you joy. You know what builds you up. You know what is holy and life-giving. Set aside the Sabbath, one day in every seven, for these things. This is God's gift of life to you, for our own good and for His glory. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to stand as you are able for our closing hymn, which is, I Am Thine, O Lord. You can find it in the hymnals at number 419.
And it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son. There are depths depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son.
As you go from this place, may you continue in Sabbath rest. May you continue to draw ever nearer to the cross of the Lord. Go in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.